Reading from Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. My subject tonight is the matter of the heart. Your heart is the problem. Your heart is the problem. That's the reality. But this is a wonderful text. You know what? Here we find a spectacular conversion. Of course, there was no spectacle at all, but it's spectacular. And it is very silent. Very silent, but yet so simple and so miraculous. Ah, do you see? No goosebump. There is nothing as such. No feelings. Nothing dramatic. Do you see anything dramatic here? Oh, you see how the Lord Jesus Christ works in your soul as a sinner to deal with your heart and to give you life. And it's interesting also to me, no hand lifting. Paul didn't say to her, lift up your hand or come to the front. Nothing as such. And certainly no so-called sinner's prayer. She didn't repeat anything after Paul. You see, salvation is between God and the sinner, no mediator except the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we see here in the conversion of a certain woman named Lydia. She is mentioned in verse 14. My dear friend, I won't at all weary you or bury your head under technical detail. There are many technical details in this text. And speaking about geography, speaking about topography, speaking about regions and different missionary journeys of Paul. We don't need that now. Now, the matter is your heart. And I want to draw your attention on that matter. But just a few words of introduction in before we deal with the conversion, this silent conversion of Lydia. Oh, my dear friends, this is the first time the gospel reached Europe. So if you live in Europe, you are a Christian. This is because something has happened here in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. The first time gospel is entering into the continent, the old continent of Europe. So it's true here when Paul visited this young lady. It is believed that Lydia was the first convert in Europe, at least named by name in the scriptures. The first one. And Philippi, the city of Philippi, became the first European formed church. Now, there are three conversions in Acts chapter 16, and so, which means I will do three gospel sermons in this chapter. Each one of them is wonderful, really. But I want to start here in Acts chapter 16 with the conversion of Lydia. And just for your information again, remember women were the last to stand at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Women were the first ones to see the risen Lord. And here also in Europe, not a man. Actually, the Macedonian calls, so-called, it was by a man. But when Paul came into Philippi, it was not a man who was first converted. It was not a man who welcomed him, but it was a woman. Do you see the miraculous power of God? Where you think this is where God will go, this is not where he will go. God is sovereign. We see his sovereignty here. And as you know, the church of Philippi became the heart of Paul's heart. He loved that church. And they paid it well. They returned it well to him. They loved him. They supported him. They prayed for him. And when you read Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, he tells them, how much I love you. How much I love you. And he even said there, God is my witness. He loved them. Oh, my dear friends, the Lord, we rooted, when you read, we read the text, I don't want to give you details, but God, the Holy Spirit, stopped Paul for going into a whole continent, the continent of Asia. The Holy Spirit rerouted Paul. Instead of going to Asia, he will go there later, to Asia Minor especially, but God detoured, he made a detour in order to come to the city of Philippi for one soul. Or the price of one soul. Of course, there will be more souls being saved, because as you remember, the church of Philippi, Lydia is there, the damsel possessed by demons is also a member of that church, and the Philippian jailer, you can see the people who are the first members of that church. And later, when you read Philippians chapter 4, you meet two other ladies there who are mentioned, Euodia and Syntyche. So these were the first members of the most loving and joyful church of the New Testament. Now, just two verses to consider, verse 14 and 15 here. And I think, again, they are so grand. There is so much for us in those two verses, almost all about the Christian life, how to be saved, and what is the evidence of salvation. It's all given to us here. Oh, my dear friends, look at six things I would like to put before you. I will go quickly through them, not to detain you for long. But the first one, look at it in verse 14. In verse 14, we are given her name. There were many women in the prayer in verse 13. Many women were there. But only her is singled out. And a certain woman named Lydia. There are, as I said, three conversions in this chapter. And actually, there are also three women mentioned in this chapter. You may have skipped the first one. In verse 1, you have one. It just says a certain woman there. But this is the mother of whom? Of Timothy. So she is there also, and she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, she is mentioned there also with Timothy's grandmother. Both of them, Lois and the grandmother, they are both mentioned in that text. So you can see three women are mentioned also in this chapter. And these were the first members of the church of Philippi. So that's all I need to say. And her name is Lydia. I could have given you all the technicality about the lead region and so on, why she named Lydia and so on. But we don't need that for now. Look at number two, my second heading, her birthplace. We read in verse 14 that she comes from Thyatira and Akshar. The name is Akshar in modern Turkey today. The city is still there, but the name has changed. And the city of Thyatira, we read about it also in the book of Revelation. I don't know. I can only speculate. Maybe Lydia has something to do with the church of Thyatira. Who knows? And with the church of Philippi at the same time. But remember, in Thyatira, Thyatira was a non-famous city in the ancient world. And the city was known for its textile manufacture. Big city there. And we read that the city was well known for the purple, for its purple business there. And we see in Lydia, here spoken about really our universal problem. You know what is our universal problem? Our hearts are locked up to the things of God, spiritually bolted against Christ. Number three, her occupation. So she was born in Thyatira. Her name is Lydia. And number three, look at her occupation, her business, her job. A seller of purple fabrics. She was in the dye business. And we can only guess that from Thyatira, she emigrated to Philippi. Why? Because we read that she owns a house in the city of Philippi. And that tells you that she was a rich lady. And the city of Philippi, you had Roman soldiers, retired Roman soldiers, you know, the elite of the Roman soldiers. It was a beautiful city. So when they retire, this is where they go to and spend the rest of their days. So she emigrated to the city of Philippi. She had a very lucrative job, rich job, actually, because the purple dye, the color purple, we looked at it actually two Sundays ago. You remember the rich man in purple clothes? It was only for the elite class. And just imagine thousands of snails in order to get that color. Now with all the technology, you can multiply the colors. But to have that purple color there, it was really a laborious and tedious work. So it was only worn by the rich people of that time. So highly prized by the rich clientele in that time. And so many colors in the purple color, which is really royal. But again, it's a surprise to me how God works. God brings Lydia to Philippi, and as I said, he forbade him to go to Thyatira, because Thyatira is in Asia Minor. He could have gone there, but the Lord said no to Paul. You and your friend, you will have to go to Philippi. And when you read verse 10, if you have your Bible open, verse 10, you can see from there you have the pronoun we. And this is the time when Luke and others have joined the team. So Luke, the doctor Luke and the historian Luke, is speaking to us as an eyewitness. He was there when Lydia found the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote these things about her. And at the right time, of course, Paul and Lydia were found in Philippi. Number four, look at her religion. Her religion. In verse 14, we are told that she worshipped God. So the understanding of that is that she was a God-fearer, a Gentile God-fearer, like Cornelius. You remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? He was a Roman centurion, and he was a God-fearer. He prayed, he gave alms, and so on. So likewise with Lydia, she was we can even say she was a proselyte. A proselyte, meaning that a Gentile being converted to the Jewish religion. But in spite of her religiosity, her riches, her prayers, her worship of the only one God, Lydia, like you and me, without the Lord Jesus Christ, is completely lost. You are completely lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I keep telling people, when we do evangelism week after week, they say, I believe in God. Oh, slow down. What kind of God do you believe in? Who is that God? If you believe in a pantheon of gods, without the Lord Jesus Christ, it is emptiness and vanity. It won't do any good to your soul. So that is really the case of Lydia, God-fearing, successful, but lost forever without the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is something interesting we can learn from Lydia. She was a businesswoman, but she honored the Sabbath day, the Sabbath. Now people, because of their work, they say, oh, I don't have time. I cannot go to church. I cannot be there. But you see, this is a good example. A God-fearer seeking after the real God, and she leaves her money, her job aside, not earning more money in order to have
to honor the Sabbath day, to obey the Ten Commandments, and the Sabbath day was the fourth commandment. And I think that's tremendous, something we learn from Lydia here. So we read in verse 13 that by the riverside there was a prayer place. And you know why? Well, we can also speculate because the text doesn't say that. But there was no synagogue there in order for people to gather together. Because for a synagogue to be built in a place, you must have 10 men. So in this place of prayer, there was no 10 men. You couldn't find 10 men. 10 Jewish men. So that is why the place was more attended by women than men. But Paul heard about that place. He knew that this place was from the riverside, and he went there. And he went there. And like many we read here, who attend services to come back to Lydia and hear the gospel week after week. But we read in the text that her heart was shut, was still locked. And sadly, a person could be in the church and not be in Christ. You could come to church, and I do appreciate the attendance and you being in the church to hear the word of God. But I don't want to deceive you. You can be in the church for 20 years, 30 years, but it doesn't mean you are in Christ. So number one, we saw her name. Number two, we spoke about her birthplace. Number three, we spoke about her occupation. She was a seller of purple. Number four, we spoke about her religion. Now look at number five, her salvation. How was she saved? Oh, it's here in verse 14. And there are a number of things that I would like to put before you in relation to her salvation. But before, you have to understand that her heart was shut, totally shut, hermetically shut, like you and me without Christ. And, that's you, really, without Christ, blind and in total darkness. You see, we are not told what she prayed for. She was in a prayer meeting, but we are not told what she prayed for. But we can guess, certainly. We can guess, maybe she was saying, God, how much I want to be saved. How much I want to, like Rahab. How much I fear this great God, the only God, the God of the Jews. I can see and I heard the many miracles he performed and he did in his time. So God, the Holy Spirit visited her and granted her the miracle of the new birth. Now, how did it happen? May I tell you three things in how it happened. Number one, in verse 14, the text says, she heard us. You see, that's the first thing. In order for you and me to be saved, I need to hear. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. That's the first ingredient of conversion. I must hear. And you see, it was not just casual hearing. Some people, the body is here, but the mind is a million miles away, vagabond. But she heard us, and the things Paul spoke grabbed her heart. And the gospel is always asking for a response from the sinner. Number two, she attended. In verse 14, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So she gave herself to the word spoken, not a casual hearing. You could see that there. Oh, I think I'm just now reading. Transport yourself and be like a mouse entering into that place where Paul was speaking to the ladies. And she was cleaved to every word that was coming out from Paul's mouth on that occasion. At least in her case, I almost said with the other women. But in her case, we read that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Nothing went over her head. Oh, she understood. As Paul was speaking, she understood her lostness. unto the things which were spoken of Paul. My dear friend, what do you think Paul will speak to her about? Tell me, what do you think? You sitting now hearing that Paul was with the women there and speaking to them. Was he talking to them about her business? How to make more money?
No, no.
No, not at all. That's pity. That's so petty also. Great things. And I believe that he started with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he went to the Old Testament and right there in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Maybe he told her even about the sin of our first parents there in the Garden of Eden. Then in Genesis chapter 49 verse 10, he spoke to her, to them, the women there, about the coming of the Shiloh. The one of the tribe of Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the prophecies from the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, coming like the Lord Jesus Christ will do it with the two witnesses on their way to Emmaus. So the Paul will speak to her how the Lord Jesus Christ came through the prophecies. And how he was born in the city of Bethlehem. And he lived for 33 years on this planet, on this earth. And then the Jews with the Romans and coaliding together made him to be crucified, hanged on a cross there. He suffered for the penalty and the punishment of our sins. So Lydia was there, taking in everything Paul was saying. And he will say to her, Paul will give her his own testimony, and he will say to her, oh, myself, I was in among the 70 leaders of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish parliament, and I hated the Lord Jesus Christ. I was given even letters to go and capture Christians in the city of Damascus, and to arrest them, and to put them to prison, and to kill them. But on the way to Damascus, I was stopped by the Lord Jesus Christ. I became blind. And until Ananias came, and 3 days, 3 nights, I fasted, I didn't eat. And Ananias came, put his hand upon me, and I recovered my sight, and I was baptized. I could carry on telling you what Paul may have spoken with the ladies at that occasion. But certainly he said to her, Lydia, and all sinners, men and women, you need to repent in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. And probably Lydia said, like the Philippian jailer in speaking to Paul, what must I do to be saved? I'm reading in her mind. It doesn't say that. As I said, the text is so short. But all those things could be here. Oh, how Christ divested himself of life to give life to sinners. How he was hanged on the cross of Calvary. My dear friends, Paul, we read here, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What did she hear? She heard what you hear every week. Week after week, week after week, you hear it, but your heart is still shutting and closed, and you will never open your heart to receive the word of God. So Lydia heard those things, and I'm sure, as she said, what must I do to be saved? Paul spoke to her the word of God, that she needs to repent and to open her heart, a very discreet woman who understood her need of the Savior. But may I tell you another thing here about the Lord opened her heart. We read the third thing in this, in her salvation. The Lord opened her heart. Only the Lord. Not the preacher. Not Paul. Not prayer. Nothing opened her heart but the Lord himself. Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. God broke the stony heart with the hammer of his word, and the message affected her soul, and she responded, my dear friend, how is your heart? Is your heart so far from God? Is your heart not willing to receive anything from God? Because remember, it starts first with hearing. She heard the things. And she opened, the God opened her heart. Your heart speaks about your person. And it is interesting that your heart wants just to feel feelings. But we are not speaking about feelings. We are speaking about conversion. We are speaking about repentance. We are speaking about believing. We are speaking about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul spoke to her, oh, no one can do his own heart surgery. Have you ever seen a surgeon or a doctor who does his own heart surgery? Impossible. God must, alone must do it. He's the surgeon, he's the physician of souls. And as Paul was explaining these things to her, the Holy Spirit gave her a new heart. Oh, your heart is failing. Maybe your heart can let you down at any. I'm not speaking about the organ pumping blood in your body, but your person, it can let you down at any minute. But the Lord can do that heart transplant in your body to give you a new heart, a spiritual heart, because no human had the combination and the password to your heart but God. God alone has that combination. Oh, Lydia embraced the King of Glory in her heart. Now my sixth heading in closing. Look at the evidence. I will just list 5 or 6 evidences there. This is wonderful. You know, when you become a Christian, if you become a Christian tonight, your life will be changed. You will not be the same. There will be evidence. There will be proof. Number one, we said it already, that if the Lord needs to open her heart, the miracle is that God doesn't open a heart and leave it empty. Otherwise, why? What for? So the Lord opens the heart, empty that heart from iniquities, transgressions, corruption and pollution, and gives you a new heart. So he doesn't leave you empty. And this is what is happening. My dear friends, please remember this. No conversion is too small. Every single conversion is important, vital to God. So the Lord, her heart was opened by God, not by any preacher. Number two, she was baptized. She was baptized when? After God opened her heart, not before. So baptism is the result of conversion. That's another evidence here. Baptism is the result, not the means. Number three, look at it in verse 15. So her heart was opened. By her baptism, she gave her confession. Her mouth was opened. And in verse 15, her house was opened. Her house was open. She extended hospitality. And I love the verb there. She constrained them. It is as if she compelled them. And she even forced them and persuaded them. When you read verse 40, you glance. Even later when Paul was released from prison, the first place they went to is to Lydia again. You see, her house was open. My dear friend, hospitality is an evidence that the person's heart has been opened by the Lord. So you see, and I already mentioned one, not only she was baptized, the fourth one, her mouth was also opened. How? She witnessed to her household. You see it in verse 15? She witnessed to her household, her servants, if she has children, if she is a widow, we don't know. If she has never been married, we don't know. But she, with her household, her servants and children, she witnessed to them also. Because Paul was not in her home. It was by the riverside. So when she came back home, she started to say, oh, today I heard such a wonderful message. Come, come and hear the message. But another one, look at it there. Oh, it's wonderful. She once, in verse 15, she said to them, if thou judgest me to be faithful to the Lord. You see, a fifth evidence, when somebody finds the Lord, he is faithful. He's faithful. We don't invent anything. It's all there.
And if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. She said, rest here, stay here. Oh, let me tell you a sixth one. I see in the text here, in verse 15, she wants to do something for the Lord. And recently, if you listen to anything I said, I told you God doesn't save a person just for him to sit in the pews. No, no. God wouldn't do that. Has he made a mistake in saving you and me? Lydia wanted to do something. And I'm sure not only serving the servants of God, but her stewardship. And I believe that she was helping to build the church in Philippi. In Philippi. Her stewardship. She wanted to do something for the Lord. And the last one, there are more, but just to list a number of them. And when she met with Paul and his friends here in verse 15 and later in verse 40, it is as if she was telling them, tell us more, tell me more. I want to be educated. I want to learn. I want to be instructed. You see, the evidence of somebody being converted, he wants to learn more. He wants to be instructed. And he wants to know more the Lord. Oh, my dear friends, through her, through Lydia, the Lord opened a whole continent. From that tiny conversion, missionaries were sent later from the church of Philippi. And Paul will continue his work all around Asia Minor with so many conversions. My dear friends, please come to the Lord tonight. Be like Lydia. Let the Lord open your heart. Trust in him. Believe in him. He died on the cross of Calvary to redeem you from your sins and to give you everlasting life.